W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH. The WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey. Kareem Daniels. And Nate Darling. From the Darling New Media Studios, this is the WTH Podcast.
Howdy from Howe Avenue.
What up?
We're back, motherfuckers.
It's a Friday episode of the WTH Podcast. Thanks for checking us out. Thanks for streaming us on Spotify or downloading us, however you listen. It's good to have you along.
Man, started on the couch and now we're here.
Yeah, this podcast started out on a cheap IKEA couch is where we started. And then I had folding chairs that I got IKEA for, I think, like 15 bucks each. And then I got some chairs that KCRA was going to throw away. Brought those home. And now I've built my empire. Okay, I'm a little early on building the empire. But hey. It's about 1,400 square feet of goodness, including two podcasting studios and a photo video space with multitudes of backgrounds. And by multitudes, I mean a gray brick wall, seamless black, seamless white, and of course, green screen so I can put you or your product anywhere in the universe.
Anywhere.
Yeah, so that's the multitudes.
Like, just like that, all you need is a helmet that looks like it's from the like you're in the army. And you can put anything behind you and make you look like you're a part of World War II.
Look, we've all seen Wayne's World, haven't we? You could be in Delaware. That is, wow, that is an old joke.
That's very old.
Well, Wayne's World is very old at this point.
My kid will never, if I ever try to make my kid watch that movie, one of my kids.
Like, swing.
They'll be like, This is gonna be like the equivalent of having to watch, like, when I was a kid, a Jerry Lewis film.
To be fair, though, Jason, you have two daughters. The Wayne's World is really guy stuff.
Yeah,
It's not really. There are women who enjoy Wayne's World, but
that's the thing, is that they're gonna have my sense of humor. So
are they?
Yeah,
they're girls.
Without a doubt. I don't think that means that they can't have a sense of humor.
No. It means they probably won't have your sense of humor.
Oh, no.
Unless one of them is a lesbian.
Oh.
You never know.
They could both be. And that's okay.
Yes.
Totes okay.
Whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to force anything. I'm just being me.
Right.
And letting them be funny.
Yeah. Are they funny?
CJ's a crack up sometimes. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Two and a half year old crack up.
Yeah, and then I'm wondering how your wife is going to be with her being like you.
Oh, that's true. That would
as
be
long
a
as
lot.
She's not late. As long as she's not late and gets good grades, I think my wife will be fine. Mm.
So I think I already know the answer to this, but are you the one who runs late in the relationship? Christine's on time.
Yeah, she's early.
So basically, you two have reversed roles.
Why do you say that?
Like the normal gender roles is.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely, I would say we're definitely a switch gender roles relationship for sure.
Yeah. I mean, my wife is on time or early all the time. She's not someone who runs late.
Yeah.
But I also am on time or early always. And that really screwed with me when I first moved to Sacramento because I learned about Midtown time.
Yeah.
Which is just. Roll in 5-10 minutes after whatever. And because I would always show up 5 minutes early because I'm from the East Coast. And I don't mean to be somebody who says, oh, hey, I'm from the East Coast. But on the East Coast, you show your ass up on time or 5 minutes early. Yes. Not 15 or 20 minutes early. 5 minutes early. If you're 15 minutes early, you wait in the car or you take a walk around the block.
Yeah.
And you roll in. You can roll in like basically 4 or 5 minutes early. And you're like, hey, I'm here. Isn't this great? In Midtown Sacramento, if you show up on time, you are early. And the person who said, hey, we're all meeting at 3:00. If you get there at 2:58, they're like, oh, hey, what are you doing here so early? like it's two minutes before the time.
Thanks for being on time.
Yeah, now you're the dick because you showed up on time.
Yeah. So I think it also is kind of, I don't know, possibly just like a Californian state of mind. Like
the Californians.
I think it's because I definitely, that's been a tradition, like something that I've seen throughout my life.
Maybe. My wife is from California and my wife shows up on time. Now, my sister-in-law, no.
Right.
No.
Because there's one in every family.
Yes. And my sister-in-law does listen to the show occasionally. My niece said, you know, Uncle Nate, my mom sometimes listens to you on the computer. So, but I mean, she knows she shows up late.
Yeah.
I'm not breaking any news here.
She also has a kid too. I think like once you have a kid.
No. Now, to be fair, I didn't really know her before the kid, but all the rest of the family did.
Okay.
So this is not a because of the kid situation. It's just how she's wired.
My cousin Daniel and my cousin Tanya. It's funny. Like my cousin Tanya would say she's always on time for work. She's always late. And my cousin did. I was always probably the worst, so.
Really? I can't believe that.
Right.
I can't imagine that in my wildest dreams.
Man, I don't give a fuck.
I will say this though.
My mind goes 100 different ways, man.
We moved our podcast recording later. We moved a half hour later tonight and Jason walked in 2 minutes before our set time. So I'd
been out in my car for about 8 minutes. So
I don't
how
know
about that.
I don't know why you waited in your car for 8 minutes.
Me either.
Because I didn't want to be 15 minutes early.
Well, that didn't bother Kareem. We could have got going. We could be halfway through the show by now.
But I'm just making a point and bringing it back that we just talked about a few seconds ago about being 15 minutes early.
We're not.
And you wait for 10 minutes.
We're not in Midtown, my friend. We're not.
No, you said 5 minutes early.
No, it's, yeah.
Yeah, and I was 2 minutes early.
Yeah.
Well, so I was just trying to be within that period of time.
All right. So yeah, it's one of those weird things, sort of like being in North Carolina, where there was a lady. I'm going to call her a lady.
She's not a lady.
She's a white patron at the Bonefish Grill in Raleigh, filming on a cell phone, calling a black customer the N-word. What did that confrontation sound like? Well, it's a good thing Newsweek was there for the whole thing. Now, to be fair, there was a group of African-American ladies having a good old time being loud. And this woman who they suddenly start filming.
Getting off work, we paying for our food just like everybody else. And she told us that we are the rudest people ever. So here's the thing. What you gotta understand is that you don't know what people going through. Okay, you wanna come over here? You wanna come?
She ain't gonna come over here.
Yes, she will. Yes,
so now she's coming over. White lady coming over, and she's filming too.
We never said anything about color. We never said. So here's the thing. Let me understand.
You're too loud.
We're too loud.
In your opinion.
Let me show you my money. It's just as green as yours.
Right. Oh, you're so stupid, nigga.
Stupid?
Oh! Wow, she threw that off.
Yeah, that's not the first time she's thrown that word around.
Like she threw it off like it was like that was.
She threw it off like she knew she wasn't going to get her ass whooped.
Well, she didn't. Yeah.
She said it like any true horrible person that really has no balls and can't stand behind what they say. She said it as she walked away.
I know plenty of black people and no.
I think she said she has some black grandkids is what she said, didn't she?
Well, we're getting to all of that.
Okay. But it doesn't matter. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, it's her reasoning for it was like, let me go through the site here. So WRAL tracked down everybody involved with this story. And the woman who said it, of course, said she would say it again.
happening at a Bonefish in North Hills, right?
David, that's right. It happened right here yesterday evening during happy hour. The woman who used the racial slur told me today she will not apologize for her language. And in fact, she said she would use the same word again. This minute-long cell phone video shows an encounter between customers at the Bonefish Grill in North Hills.
This person had the audacity right here to come to our table and tell us that we are the rudest people that she has ever met. Look at her.
Then the woman, who we now know is Nancy Goodman, calls another customer the N-word.
You're too loud.
We're too loud.
In your opinion. Let me show you my money. It's just as green as yours. Right. Oh, you're so stupid.
We found Goodman at her home.
I'm a 71-year-old woman who lives in Raleigh. I suffer from tremendous anxiety.
She says that anxiety and the women's behavior pushed her to act as she did.
Okay. I've heard a lot of excuses. Anxiety is new for me. Anxiety caused you to call somebody the N-word?
I thought anxiety made you shy away from situations and people. Am I wrong?
I guess it can manifest itself in a whole bunch of different ways. I mean, it could make you feel like you're cornered and have to be aggressive about something.
But here's the thing. Fuck her, man. It's fucking happy hour at a fucking bar. Like, they're in the high top section. They're right by the bar. Get the fuck over yourself, woman. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you cannot be talking about how you're being too loud at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, like, at fucking happy hour. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, you know, hold on. Let's look at this from all sides. They might have been, in fact, way too loud. They might have been screaming and inhibiting people's enjoyment of the time. That doesn't make it okay to go over and call them the N-word. I'm just going to throw that out there that she might have been justified in saying those women over there are way too loud and it's really bugging
Absolutely.
The hell out of me.
But at the same time, like, that's what she was doing. That's what she was doing. She was over there talking to the manager and telling the manager, like, you could see her. That's why they're like, oh, she's going to go talk to the manager. Yeah. And like, she's like, let's see if they'll kick us out. Right. And that's what she went over there to do. And the manager's like, sorry, I'm not going to. Like, manager said he wasn't going to do anything about it. And she
well,
was
yeah,
like,
it's a table of I'm not going to throw out that table of five for you because they're going to spend way more money.
They already yes. are.
already spent more money than you have.
Yeah. Like, exactly. You're just, like, you know, here's the
get your ass out of here.
Aside from being jealous, she's also petty, like most racists are in the first place. And then, second of all, you know, she was just sad because she wasn't having a good time like everybody else, you know.
She's a 71-year-old woman who lives in Raleigh, Jason.
Yeah, fuck that, man.
I mean, that sounds sad.
That's her problem. That sounds sad to me. That's yes. her problem.
See,
She's a sad witch.
That's why I'm worried about being home with my girlfriend right now, because there are 71-year-old women that feel like they can walk around and say the N-word.
Well, they won't be saying it to your... Well, they might. Sorry.
Yeah, man.
Might. As in, what are you doing with that N-word?
Yeah. Exactly.
That could come up.
You're going to have such a nice life. I think that got thrown at Chris and I one time when we were talking about how we living in California. Because, uh-huh. you know, certain people that are Republicans
right.
think that we're like a hellscape here.
Well, I mean, look, there are issues with living in California, like the cost of buying a home and all of that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you could go to Texas and you could afford a place three times bigger than the one you have for what you're paying. But then you're in Texas.
Yeah, I'm fucking fine living in my two-bedroom, one-bath house.
Sure.
I'm fine.
But some people are like, why are you limiting yourself to that?
Yeah, and it's like, because we like it.
Yeah. There are some people who are like, oh my God, I've got five bedrooms and three bathrooms and a big backyard and all of this space. Why would you limit yourself to that? It has nothing to do with them being Republican or whatever. It just has to do with them being, look, I was watching Love Island with the wife. And there's a guy on Love Island who has.
Can we press the whip button?
Yeah.
Oh,
shh. Now.
It's on the other page. So I was watching a bit. Well, she was watching, and I was sitting there. And there it is. And there was a dude there who's from just outside of Dallas. And he was talking to one of the new girls who came in, who's from Delaware and super hot. And he was telling her about how he's a builder and he built his own house and he has 12 acres in this house that he built. And then he built a house for this relative and that relative. And she was like, wow, 12 acres. And then, of course, the people that were tweeting were like, oh, she's a gold digger because she got, see how she all lit up over 12 acres. She's like, I'm from Delaware. The whole state's 12 acres.
Yeah.
But the idea that you would be in parts of California like Sacramento or San Francisco or L.A. and you would have 12 acres is just unheard of.
Yeah.
Is he doing anything on the 12 acres?
He's building houses for relatives.
Well, I don't know if that's happening. I don't know. I didn't pay that close of attention to it.
You're like, I have my cell phone.
Cause me and you grew up in rural areas. So yeah, what the fuck do you do?
My dad's on 135 acres.
And right. When I was in,
but your dad does something with the 135 acres.
Right. It's a dairy farm. It's an operating dairy farm.
And when I was a kid, I mean, even though I grew up in Dublin, it was on like right outside of Dublin. There was a lot of farm. My friend Nevada was raised on a ranch with like 24 acres. Like there was like right outside of town. There was still like, that's not there anymore.
So if you got 12, right. If you got 12 acres and you're not doing anything on it, that means you got a lot of fucking grass to cut.
Yeah, exactly. It's very true.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying.
And if he got 12 acres north of Dallas, that's what he got. He has a lot of fucking grass to cut.
Yeah,
probably. So maybe a few
and
trees.
And floods.
Yeah, and a few trees. Yeah. And there's not a lot of trees.
Yeah. Meanwhile, this just made me go, what the hell? So there's some Ole Miss students who are now facing possible civil rights investigation after they posed with guns in front of the Emmett Till Memorial, which has bullet holes in it now.
Man, fuck these kids.
They've been suspended from their fraternity house and face possible investigation by the Department of Justice after they posed with guns in front of a bullet-riddled sign that honored slain civil rights icon Emmett Till. By the way, if you're unfamiliar, he was a 14-year-old African-American from Chicago who was murdered in Mississippi in 1955. He was tortured and murdered. An all-white, all-male jury acquitted the two white men accused in the slaying. So now the photo, which was obtained by the Mississippi Center for Investigative Reporting and ProPublica, shows an Ole Miss student named Ben LeClaire holding a shotgun while standing in front of the bullet pock sign as Kappa Alpha fraternity brother John Lowe squats below the sign and a third member stands on the other side with an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle. LeClaire posted the picture on Lowe's birthday on March 1st with the message, "One of Memphis's finest and worst influence I've ever met." Neither of the men responded to repeated attempts to contact them. Now, it's not clear whether the fraternity students shot the sign or are simply posing in front of it, but the sign is part of a memorial effort by the Mississippi Civil Rights Group and has been repeatedly vandalized, most recently in August of last year. And Emmett Till's death is one of the things that helped propel the modern civil rights movement in America. So this is still happening.
No, there's no such thing as racism, right?
Yeah, there...
White people aren't racist, all right?
They're not anymore. Racist. They're good.
They're good boys. They're just misled. You know, fuck that whole fraternity house. That whole fraternity needs to go down because that type of shit is infested. Like that. That's an infestation.
There's that word.
Of a fucking bunch of rats in that fucking fraternity. I don't give a fuck, man. I'll dehumanize racist fucks every single day.
Yeah. Yeah,
single fucking day. There's one thing that, you know what? Like, man, fuck all. I'm so fucking done with white racists. Even, I'm fucking done.
Even if they're not racist, and they probably are, here's what they are: incredibly fucking stupid.
They're dead.
And I have no time for people that are that fucking stupid and tone deaf. Even if I were to concede that, hey, maybe they're not racist.
No, but they have it. Yeah, it's so crazy.
I'm betting they are simply because why the fuck else would you do that?
There's no reason.
There's literally no reason like, hey, we found a new sign to shoot up Cletus.
Yeah. Oh, hey, look, and this one's about Emmett Till. Yeah, that fucking black boy. They probably use a different word.
They probably don't even know who Emmett Till is.
Yeah.
If they read the sign, they would.
They know who it is, but they believe a. They don't care. It's a black. like, you don't, like, if you've ever been raised or been around white people that, I mean, you, but you,
nothing but white people, Jason. I'm from Vermont. Nothing but white people.
White racist people, though, that are actively racist and say racist things. I mean, I remember as a kid hearing the, like, racist jokes, like, with malice, like, and like saying things like, you know, like, just the overt racism that I grew up with around, like, people, and just fuck them, man. Fuck all of them. I'm done with it. It's just fucking nuts. Like,
the thing about growing up in a place like Vermont is it's hard to tell who is racist because there's no different people. So they would find, people always find a way to find the different because that's what it is. And in Vermont, when I was growing up, it was the people who were French Canadian who had moved to Vermont. My grandmother was French Canadian, and there were a lot of people who moved from Quebec down into Vermont, basically to get farms because there was farmland and it was just different opportunities. Or maybe they met someone who lived across the border. My grandfather was from the States and my grandmother was from Quebec. So she moved down here and they got married. So that's how it happened. But that's what they would pick up. There would be the French Canadians. There would be the Flatlanders, who were the people who came up from Massachusetts and New York. So there was always someone who is different. That's what people do. Right. They look for the different. And instead of looking for how is everybody the same? Yeah, I want to look for the different. Kareem's experience is very different than mine. And I enjoy hearing about how it is different. But I also enjoy going, hey, we got a lot of things in common, despite the fact that we came from a very different background.
And we have similar backgrounds too.
Right. You wouldn't necessarily think so, but we do. And it's that sort of, when you start looking for the commonality as opposed to the things that are different. So you don't have to ignore them, but that shouldn't be the very first thing that's like, oh, hey, look how different we are here. Or look how weird this is or whatever that is, because that's the thing. That's the thing you do as a kid. You're like, oh, that's different.
Yeah.
And it makes you go, oh, different is scary. Different's not scary. Different can be exciting. Different can be enlightening, emboldening. Different is an opportunity. It's not something to be afraid of. It's
an opportunity to learn something you didn't know before.
Exactly. And, well, learning is not really, and again, that goes back to being incredibly stupid, which if I give those three the benefit of the doubt, they're just incredibly stupid. All right. So moving on to a Nebraska woman who's pregnant. She allegedly had sex with a 14-year-old boy dozens of times this year. That's according to police, who arrested the suspect on a felony sexual assault charge. Now, investigators allege that Brittany Stricker, who's 20, engaged in a sexual relationship with the minor that began in early January and continued through late June. Stricker gave birth earlier this month to a baby boy. Oh, boy. In a police interview, she reportedly confessed having sex with the minor up to 100 times, but said the victim acted older than 14. Well, I bet he did. As detailed in an affidavit, the Lincoln Police Department officers first interviewed her and the victim in March after two reports were made to the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services alleging the pair were having sex. During the police questioning, Stricker said the boy denied a sexual relationship. But earlier this month, the teenager, who has now turned 15, contacted police and revealed that he had sex with her in excess of 100 times. These encounters, the boy reported, occurred in her home and three other residences in and around Lincoln. The boy told police that Stricker was aware of his age and that multiple other parties had confronted her about the inappropriateness of their sexual relationship. The victim added that friends of his had witnessed him having sex with her. A 17-year-old witness quoted in the affidavit told the cops that he confronted Stricker about the victim's young age and saw the duo engaged in sexual intercourse in the basement of one Lincoln residence. In a July 22nd call recorded by police, Stricker reportedly made confirming comments about the sexual nature of her relationship with the boy. During the conversation, the duo discussed the status of the relationship, with Stricker saying that sexual contact would be part of any continuing involvement with the minor.
Isn't she old enough to have somewhere for them to have sex besides the basement?
Well, she had a house and they had it there multiple times. Now, we're just starting to get to the point now where an older female and a younger male is treated in the same way that you would an older, if a 20-year-old guy were having sex with a 14-year-old girl, there would be a tremendous amount of outrage.
Yes.
Depending on the state.
No, it would still be, the outrage would be there. It might not be a crime.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's.
So you're going to have that. But until very recently, this sort of thing was not really looked at. There were always the jokes about, yeah, he was doing this and there were witnesses and then they high-fived through the whole thing.
Oh, my dad would have been proud of me.
Sure. And the thing is, as a 14-year-old boy, I'm sure you'd be like, yeah. But a 14-year-old didn't know any better.
Right. Man, I hit that.
Right. And the idea that it's not going to have lasting impacts on this kid throughout the rest of his life and how he interacts with other people is just crazy. So, but it's interesting how we've come a long way in the past 10 years with that.
Very much so.
From, high five to, oh yeah, she's a sexual predator because she's a sexual predator.
And there are a lot of them.
There are a lot of them, and there always have been a lot of them. We just didn't hear about them because either no victim would come forward. If they did, they'd be like, what are you complaining about?
Yeah.
What's the big deal? Why are you upset?
Well, they already investigated once, right?
Well, he denied it. That's the thing. When they did it the first time, the kid denied that it was happening.
Because there was a lady that just got convicted. I think she got like 30 years.
Oh, it's been happening a lot. Like, we're hearing about it a lot more often.
Exactly.
And it's no longer just teachers.
No, yeah. No.
She was a teacher, but yeah, she got like 30 years.
Well, the teachers just because they have easy access. Some news from, we talked about this before a few weeks ago. Now, a post from a Tennessee police department that warned residents that flushing drugs could create meth gators. They were actually joking. I kind of figured they were joking.
Yeah.
But they felt the need to put out a post saying that they were joking. And
excuse me, I work for the National Institute of Health, and that's not the way methamphetamines work.
And the USA Today felt the need to do a story about it.
they got some of that stock footage too.
Yeah. The police department felt the need to say, let us be perfectly clear. The meth gator was a humorous illustration used to highlight the dangers of flushing drugs and other substances down your toilet. Alas, the meth gator is not real. Let's say that again. The meth gator is not, at this time, real.
Damn it.
Please, their whole point was don't flush your drugs down the toilet.
No, keep them on you so they can arrest you.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, really, more than anything else, this is about keeping evidence on the table.
That's right.
Well, people also flush prescription drugs, and you shouldn't do that either.
You shouldn't do that. Yeah. In fact, in order to get rid of prescription drugs, what you should do, if you don't know,
is bring them to Jason.
Bring them to me with the pill bottle so I know exactly what it is. Or not. I can figure it out. I have a way to look it up. Mm-hmm. But no, you crush them and then you put them in coffee grounds, wet used coffee grounds. And that's the way you dispose of them. That's the way you dispose of pills.
Okay.
That's that 100%.
You put them in your coffee grounds and then you do a pour over.
No.
Yes.
No. Already used coffee grounds.
Oh, okay.
You mix up the broken up crushed pills in that. And that just makes it so they're not usable.
Okay. Hey, I forgot to mention this on the last show, but if you're a good listener, you already know this. Help support the show by hitting that Shop Amazon tab at the top of WTHpod.com. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It helps support the show, and we do appreciate it. Also, the Shop Target link. Jason, you missed it last week. I did the Shop Target thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I actually did it two different times. I did an order. Now, if you just click through to the website and you just do the order online, you have to go inside to pick it up. You don't have the option of having them deliver it out to the thing. But what you do, here's how you get around it. You click the Shop Target tab at the top of WTHpod.com, which will take you to the Target website, okay? And you make sure you're signed in. You do your shopping. You put it all in your shopping cart. And then you pull up the Target app. And on the Target app, you sign in, same login, so they know it's you. and you finish the purchase, and then you can select deliver to your car.
What?
Yep. That's how you get around it. Because for some reason on the website, you can't do the thing where you just pull up in the lanes outside. Now that thing, let me explain this. It's really cool. I didn't really understand it until I did it. But you put the order in, they will then let you know when the order is ready. You open your app and enable them to use your location while the app is open. And it will notify them when you get to the store. See, I waited until I got to the store to open up the app to see what was up. And they go, oh, hey, you're here. Someone will be out momentarily with your stuff. Now, if I would have done that when I left my house, when I pulled in, they would have known and been on the way out. So that's how they do it. That's how it all works.
You have to do it on your computer first.
Well, you can
or browser.
You can do it on your phone, but you have to do it through the browser. Right. Click that Shop Target tab. But then you put it in the cart. And then before you check out, then you go to the app and fish. I know it's an extra step, and I'm very sorry for that. But that's how we can get a little fundage here. And honestly, it doesn't take any time to do that. And then you're good to go. And it just makes a lot of sense.
I'm sorry I didn't do that when I bought my headphones from Target.
You son of a bitch. Son of a bitch.
But I wouldn't have seen that.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All right, it's time for the Eat Beat, where Marilyn talks about Christie's Lakeview Catering. She says it's worth the drive to Lake Tobiasen. Well, first you need a reservation, and then you have to find it. And when you drive to Christie's Lakeview Catering Center on Lake Tobiasen near Hatton, North Dakota, you've arrived.
Okay, thank you for the directions. Mm-hmm.
The time to come with a reservation in summer is the third Sunday of the month at noon. No reservations are required later on for dinners served beginning on the third Sunday of September. Now, people who live around Hatton will know how to find Christie's.
Because it's the only place.
For others, it takes a map showing Highway 45 to locate the beautiful Airy Lodge. There, they find the breakfast buffets once a month in summer and Sunday dinners during the winter. Now, last Sunday, brunch guests could choose biscuits and gravy, cheesy hash browns, American fries.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
None of those French fries.
Cheesy hash browns.
Mm-hmm. Scrambled eggs, ham, bacon, and sausage. There was also an egg bake and a pizza bake along with French toast. For good measure, there was a Mexican breakfast tortilla. Also what? Homemade rolls and breads.
What's a fucking Mexican breakfast tortilla?
I don't know how to make it any more clear to you.
Get the fuck out of here.
Now, sometimes, Jason, there's donuts for people while they're waiting in line. Hey, you gotta like that. The large airy lodge for dining sits on a gentle slope above a lake. Meals are prepared in a big, efficient kitchen and served with the leadership of Christine Hallweger. She's well known as a longtime caterer who started cooking at the age of 18 at a restaurant in Hatton. Sometimes people ask how many meatballs she's made. She says one year she counted 9,200. Why would you count the number of meatballs you made in a year? I guess you live in North Dakota. Her recipe is no secret. She uses oatmeal, salt, pepper, onion, egg, milk. She calls it the basic recipe. Oh, there's onion in there? Fuck you, Christine. After first cooking in the restaurant, she began cooking in the school at Hatton. Then she moved on to catering weddings and special events. And she's had the help of workers from Bethany Welka Church between Hatton and Mayville. There are about 14 of them. They volunteer their work as fundraising for the church. At Lake Tobias, in the spacious and inviting dining area, has rows of tables covered this summer with blue and white checked cloths. There's long tables, big windows, and massive stone fireplace. Beyond the large dining area and adjacent smaller dining room, on a Sunday in summer, there are fans gently moving the air.
Oh, wow. That's nice. I'd rather have some fans.
Marilyn's 93. I feel the need to point that out. When she's not cooking, Christine Hallweger has, for the last year, been enjoying a new family home near the lake. It is near the Lakeview Catering Lodge that was built earlier by her son David and her husband Jim. Mm. He formerly was with Fritz Building Company of Grand Forks. There's a friendly... That's good. That's good. Put that on your LinkedIn. There's a friendly, cheery ambiance around the lodge. About the lake location, Christine Hallwiger says, why does she need to give her both names every time? Is this a wrestling promo?
Oh, yeah. At the end of this, she's in the
Let me tell you something, Hulk Hogan. I'm going to... Anyway, Christine says, the big thing is just enjoying the people. Then, too, she says, it's so peaceful here in the mornings just looking out over the lake.
Because she has no customers, mm-hmm. and she's not making any food.
Now, in Golden Lake, North Dakota, not far, summer visitors will find a place to eat on the shores of Golden Lake. It is south of Norwood off Highway 18. Its almost round lake is ringed with homes, some seasonal and some occupied year-round. As a gathering place, Golden Lake Acres has a large deck overlooking the water. It provides a pleasant setting to snack or eat. Snacking is eating, Marilyn. Now, while the menu shows mostly a variety of burgers, manager Jake Dixon says walleye and ribeye steaks are featured on Friday and Saturday nights. There's seating inside for 60 in the dining area and 8 at the bar. Well, it's cozy. The place is clean and uncluttered with windows providing a lookout over the lake. Dixon says many homes are occupied all year round Golden Lake. We covered that, Marilyn. Apparently, they've fired the proofreader.
Mm-hmm.
15 are homes of snowbirds who spend their summers at the lake. There's a large area for trailer homes. He said the restaurant will be open until Labor Day and on weekends of November and December.
The thing they don't tell you is that it's there's only 8 seats at the bar. There's actually 11, but there's 3 guys that are always sitting at one end of it.
Probably, yeah. Christie's Lakeview Catering, Lake Tobias in near Hatton, North Dakota. Reservations only. Seating for 60 at tables and 8 at the bar. You can call them at 218-791-5169. They're open 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on one Sunday a month.
Oh, God.
Right? The report card, which isn't really a report card, a wide array of Sunday brunch foods served once a month during summer in a friendly, airy lakeside dining room. Reservations required.
Because sometimes she just needs a sick... Christy, what was her name?
Tobiasen.
Yeah, Christy.
No, that's Lake Tobiasen. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Christy... Hallwiger.
Hallwiger. Christy, let me tell you something, Christy Hallwiger. You're only going to open once a month.
Yeah, well, and if she doesn't get any reservations, that means she gets to spend more time looking out at the lake.
Just sit here and look at the lake and think about what you've done.
And how peaceful it is.
Yep. That's what we're going to do, brother. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. We're back on Monday. We've got grievances to air, and I have an apology for Jason. So you won't want to miss that. I know, right?
What?
Waiting with bated breath. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Nip it in the bud.